still trying to be better connected to me, to be and who I am. A lot of people see the imagery of me as, oh man, this guy played basketball. He's great with kids. Everybody has internal struggles.
Hello, I'm Peyton Squires, and I'm the host of the podcast. This podcast is for those who are dissatisfied with where they are at in their life and career currently. I used to be one. When I got out of college with my master's degree, I started working in banking. I eventually moved to a Fortune 500 company. I quickly found out being an employee was not for me. I was bored out of my mind and did not like it whatsoever. Something eventually lit a fire under me. I started studying for the CPA exam, listening to podcasts, and reading books every day. By doing that, I had passed all four parts of the CPA exam in 8 months and quit my job. I opened up my own tax firm, having never been paid to do someone's taxes before. That was in 2014. Since then, I've consistently grown my business, had a lot of success in other business ventures, including real estate, property management, among other things. And now I'm looking for a new venture. I want to help inspire you and other entrepreneurs to achieve their potentials and dreams, as well as learn from the stories of these entrepreneurs as to see what has gone well and what hasn't gone well for them. Let's go create a bunch of healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. Hello, everybody. This is Peyton Squires. I'm the host of Behind Their Success podcast. Today, we got a special guest on for you, Mr. Lawrence Bowers. Lawrence was a member of the winningest basketball class in Mizzou basketball history. He won a Big 12 tournament title, also had an Elite Eight run in the NCAA tournament. He went on to play professional basketball in the NBA Summer League and also overseas in Israel. I know I had a lot of fun watching him back in the day when I was in college. Those teams were a lot of fun to watch. Currently, he's the director of marketing content creation at Every True Tiger Foundation. This foundation is University of Missouri's official name, image, and likeness collective. He works with current Mizzou athletes to help them partner with organizations for marketing opportunities. He's also the founder of Elbow Sports, which locally hosts basketball camps and individual basketball training. His camps are a pretty big deal for the community as they offer access to these camps through scholarships, offering access to kids that financially can't afford them. I know last year they helped over 85 kids, and he's looking to do quite a bit more this year. Lawrence is a proud husband of Faven and father of a daughter and a son. He holds a master's degree in school educational counseling and bachelor's degree in sociology from the University of Missouri. Welcome, Lawrence, on the podcast.
Peyton, couldn't be more happy to be here, man. Looking very much forward to our conversation.
Heck yeah, man. So, Lawrence, you know, I read off the bio there. Give me a little bit of your background. How'd you get to where you are today?
Well, you know, you hear this a lot, but man, I truly came from humble beginnings. I grew up without my biological father for most of my life. He missed most of my formative years. He was away in prison. Great guy. We ended up striking a pretty good relationship once he was released, but didn't grow up easy at all. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, lived there until I was like 3 or 4. Don't know the exact. Then moved out to the countryside of Proctor, Arkansas, which is outside of West Memphis, with my mom and stepdad at the time. I remember my first basketball hoop being a piece of wood that we nailed up to a light pole that was sitting in front of the yard and played on dirt. That's just, you know, that's how I learned how to play the game of basketball. And obviously it took me a long ways in life. Also learned how to play baseball out in the country. I used to rabbit hunt, deer hunt, squirrel hunt, go fishing. It wasn't much to do living out there for the eight, nine years I lived out there, but it definitely instilled in me a desire to want more. It instilled in me a work ethic that I still possess to this day. After living in Proctor, Arkansas, my mom and stepdad divorced. We moved back to Memphis, and that's when things really became hard. My mom was a single mom, and I always tell people by the grace of God and the generosity of many, most whom I don't even know, I was able to never miss opportunities by going to camps and going on baseball trips and tournaments, which is why when you talk about LBO Sports and Camp Bowers, you mentioned all the good that we do as far as scholarship and kids. I don't even look at it as me doing a good deed. I look at it as me reciprocating the generosity that I received during my lifetime. So that's just a little bit about my upbringing. I graduated from St. George's Independent School wouldn't be where I am without that school. That school changed my life. It introduced me to some really great people. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the University of Missouri and how it has completely impacted my life to the point where we decided to settle down here in Columbia, being that I'm not even from here and I'm the only person from my family that's not even Memphis.
Yeah. Obviously, you've had a lot of success in athletics. How was that coming up through high school and then ultimately getting recruited into the University of Missouri? Tell me a little bit about that.
I actually grew up more focused on the baseball side, believe it or not. Had multiple opportunities with baseball, but basketball was just a sport I loved the most. And it was one of those things where it made sense because I was 6'7", super athletic, could jump, had a nice jump shot. So it just made sense for me to pursue and actually love, I think, basketball a little bit more. But my recruiting process, it was the tale of two halves, per se. I started off as a very highly ranked recruit in basketball, went through a summer of having knee pains. I think it was growing pains from all of the rankings, went towards the background of many coaches, just an afterthought. So I wasn't highly recruited with basketball the way that, I started off my high school career. But nonetheless, I did have some big offers, just not many. And I ended up coming to the University of Missouri after being denied by the University of Arkansas. That was my school. I was committed to them. And then they had a coaching change, and the new coach basically told me he didn't want me. But the whole time, Mike Anderson was very persistent. And obviously, we had family ties. My uncle played for him and Nolan Richardson at Arkansas. So I just trusted him. I trusted him, and that brought me here to the University of Missouri. And I think it's safe to say I had a really good career here. But more than that, this place is my home. And I think that was one of the greatest decisions I ever made so far in my young life.
Yeah, yeah. You certainly, those teams there, especially with Mike Anderson, and you guys were certainly, like I said, you won the most games of any class in Mizzou history. So you guys certainly had a lot of success. So what transitioned after that?
The freshman year that we had here was, I wouldn't say it was expected by any means. We brought in five freshmen. My freshman year, I was one of those five, and we went to the Elite Eight. So that year, some might have said we overachieved, but I didn't play as much my freshman year. We had a loaded front court with Keith Ramsey, Justin Safford, and not to mention Leo Lyons, who is probably one of the most talented guys ever come through Mizzou, and Damari Carroll, and we know how that career played out. So I didn't play much my freshman year, but we worked hard. I worked my tail off. I never gave into the whole being frail and, you know, being the fifth guy. So I just kept working. And then I come back sophomore year, second leading scorer, second leading rebounder on the team. And my career just continuously progressed. So it was a lot of hard work put in. We didn't play for an easy coach at all. Mike Anderson, I love him to death. Talked to him probably once or twice every month since I played for him, still to this day. He was very tough on us. In retrospect, there was times where I questioned if I even wanted to play for him. But now that I'm a father and a husband and I coach kids, everything just makes sense. But to go back to what you were saying, we did win a lot of games. We did establish what the culture of Missouri basketball could be. And I think just fast forwarding to today, I think that we're on the verge of seeing that come back to life with under the leadership of Dennis Gates and his staff. So very excited about Mizzou basketball. Obviously, this past year was a bit rough, not expected at all. But I think brighter things on the horizon.
So you finished up your college career. Tell me where you went from there. I know you went overseas for some time period. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so when I graduated, I ended up having to stay an extra year at Mizzou. I had a very devastating knee injury. And I say devastating, not that I did play afterwards, but that knee injury definitely derailed my NBA career. I feel safe enough to say that and vulnerable enough right now. It did. It was devastating, but I came back a fifth year, had a really good year, but also had another knee injury. So I just had to overcome so much adversity that last 2 years of Mizzou. But nonetheless, I did go pro afterwards. So I had a quick stint with the Memphis Grizzlies. It didn't last as long as I would have liked. But from there, I went overseas and played in Israel. I'm in the top division for a team named Hapoel Holon. We had two really good seasons, made the playoffs both times. I had a really good season both years. And then from there, I transitioned into the upper leagues of Italy, played there for 3 years, had my daughter. She was born there, Fiore, who's behind me. And after that fifth year, we actually won a championship. The knee that I hurt in college, the ACL knee, I just couldn't withstand the pain that I would feel after practices and games. And being a father at that point, it was like, life is bigger than basketball. I want to be able to be a fun dad, right? And you know this, you have your own kids, and I like running after them. I like playing basketball with them and throwing them up in the air. And if I didn't quit at that particular time, no telling what kind of shape my knee would be in right now. So I did that, played basketball for 5 years pro, and then decided to settle in here in Columbia. Because of my just being genuine with people and trying to be a good friend outside of being just known as a basketball player when I was at Mizzou, I was able to transition and come back here and find my footing with the help of Dr. James Stannard over at MOI. He really helped propel me. He put me in front of the people at Johnson. So I then became a trauma sales rep. I did that for 2.5 years. And then the wonderful world of name, image, and likeness, NIL, was introduced to college athletics. And I was pulled from that job and was asked to come and lead Evertrue Tiger. And that's what I'm doing right now, and I love it. I'm impacting my school in a very positive way.
Heck yeah. So yeah, that's a L name, image, likeness. That's a whole new world, right? Or at least a world that's only existed for a couple years. Right. Give us in a nutshell what you do. People hear about NIL, but they may not know exactly like how it works since it's so new.
Yeah, it's what's crazy. We're supposed to be experts in this. Yeah. And I feel very knowledgeable about what we do about name, image, and likeness. But dude, it changes so much. There's so many rules, regulations, bylaws, legislation changes. It happens on a whim. To be honest with you, I can't say that I'm 100% sure about all things NIL. I don't think anyone is. I think we're evolving and adapting as the time goes. But I will say I stand confident in knowing that I am playing a very important part in Evertrue Tiger. My role is director of marketing and content creation on paper. But being a part of a startup and being on the forefront of things, you wear so many different hats that I don't even think a title does you no justice. I'm dealing with finances. I'm dealing with player relations. I'm dealing with coaches, negotiations. There's just so many other things within my job that is not within that title. But I have a great team. We do have a CEO by the name of Nick Garner. He's been great to learn under. He possesses a very strong business acumen, especially in the world of sports and multimedia rights, which all kind of tie into name, image, and likeness. And then I have an assistant. She's our marketing coordinator. Her name is Jenna Brown. She brings a teacher background into the things that we do. And she's also was a athlete, track and field athlete. So she knows the business. In the NIL world, man, I'm doing whatever it takes to just help my school be top tier when it comes to efficiency and how their NIL system operates.
A question I like to ask a lot of my guests is, what would you say is your top skill or like the skill that leads to your success?
I think my top skill, without a shadow of a doubt, would be just my relationship building skills.
I'd agree.
Somebody told me not too long ago, because when you're young, you're male. I have to admit, the male ego is something else, right? Mm-hmm. That can't be overstated. And I fall victim to that at times. But I'm 33 years old, and I always try to seek mentorship in people who have done some of the things that I aspire to do financially, you know, as a husband, as a Christian. And I was talking to one of my mentors, and I don't remember how we got on this, but I told him, I'm like, hey, man, I've been thinking about going back to school to get an MBA or to pursue my doctorate because I just feel like it would advance my career in so many ways. And he thought about it and he looked at me and he said, Lawrence, for some people, I think that's a necessity, right? He said, your relationship building skills are superb. That's one thing I've always thought about you. You're just a genuine guy. You care about people. You're empathetic. You're sympathetic. You care. He said, for you, I want you to look at your net worth as being your network. And when he said that, it kind of resonated with me. I'm like, I know a lot of people in higher places who pour into me on an everyday basis. You know, even if it's not talking about finances or real estate or talking to you who people don't know, you become my financial advisor. Just having genuine conversations with people who aspire to do bigger things has really helped me. So to hear that my relationship skills were something that really stood out, that made me feel good about myself because, yes, I am educated. Yes, I work extremely hard. Yes, I am a devout Christian. I ask for the things. I manifest things, but I think just my way with people has propelled me to where I am, and I'm just going to continue to be me.
Yeah. And I'd agree. You know, I've gotten to know you over the last, I don't know, couple years, year and a half, something like that. And yeah, absolutely. You're a relational guy. And the last podcast I had that just came out this week was all about network and your net worth, the ability to network and make all those connections. And it's amazing. And I've said on other episodes before where like you could take all of our financial wealth and assets and just take that all away. Mm-hmm. But if you leave my relationships, if I still had all my relationships, right, I could build that sucker back really fast.
Yeah, I think that's a great approach to it. And, you know, when I create relationships with people, it's not for a handout. It's not for them to do anything for me. It's more so just to just spread positivity, man. Like in a world that we live in now, I'm not huge into politics. I'm not huge into all of the this matters and that matters. I'm just into love, man. I think just mm-hmm. being a great person, doing the right thing. And I think that when you spread positivity, eventually it can break through the strongest of walls. So
yeah,
I'm just huge on relationships, man. Number one, I really like to laugh as we have a fun time mm-hmm. when me and you are together. But I just like having a good time, man. I just think it's way easier to be nice to people than it is to be a grouchy dude all the time when you're meeting people. So
what would you credit as the best decision you've ever made?
Marrying my wife.
That's a great answer.
Marrying my wife. Obviously, you hear the whole cliche of behind every man, there's a great woman. I can talk for days and weeks and months and years about my wife. She met me when all I had to offer her was potential. And we've built a beautiful family. She keeps me on track. You've met my wife. She's 5'4", but she when she talks, this 6'7" guy, I listen. So
she fights. Yes, she is. She's good.
So I would definitely say marry my wife. But in the business sense, I would say just starting LBO Sports by myself. I had no direction, and it has grown into something that is really beautiful. There's been trials and tribulations, as in any startup.
As always.
But to say that we hosted 553 campers in one summer last year in camp, that was incredible. So I think just my willingness on the business side to just take a risk. I believe in myself. I know that I'm good to people. I know that I work hard. I know that I educate myself on the things that I'm passionate about. So those would probably be the two things that mm-hmm. I'm most proud of.
Okay. Now the flip side of that, what's one big mistake you've made? It could be business, family, whatever.
I just patted myself on the shoulder about taking a risk and just jumping yeah. into certain things and how it paid off for me with LBO Sports. But I was also really dumb with money in the earlier years of my professional career and just spending money in ways, man, where I wasn't really super worried about the future. And now being sure. about to be 34, I just hired you as a financial advisor because I want to really see improvement in my financial growth. I can honestly say that I've been blessed to have a career and have my own company to where I make decent amount of money. But in previous years, I just wasn't good at saving. I wasn't good at investing. You asked me a question a while back about assets. I want to grow my assets. So I would say definitely just spending habits weren't great. But me and my wife, we make a really good team. And we've come to a point the last year or so where we're like, if we do something with our money, we can live a really good mm-hmm. life. So I would just say that, man. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about working with you at WR Wealth, WR Tax Planners to help the Bowers get to another level.
Yeah, man. And it's what you described. There's, of course, I work in that whole world. Very common story. And especially being young, being a professional athlete, like you don't know what you don't know. And that's to be expected.
You can get so much money at the blink of an mm-hmm. eye, right? You know, I never held that much money a day in my life. And then all of a sudden you're handing me hundreds of thousands in checks. That's crazy for a guy, especially Mizzou did a decent job of financial education with us at the time. It's not as strong as it is now because of NIL. We are yep. huge on financial literacy. But man, yeah, it was a lot of just trying to figure it out, man. And but it didn't help that we lived in Italy where Gucci, you know, all that stuff was. So I definitely matured. My wife and I have grown. We're more connected financially. And I think, like I said, that was the biggest mistake. But I'm still young, man. I feel good knowing that I am still young. I'm only 33 years old. And now I have people in my corner who are really going to help me
look out for
to get to where I can possibly go, man. So I'm very excited yeah. about that.
Yeah. And, you know, you see like lottery winners, professional athletes, you know, it's like, here's $1 million. Don't kill yourself with it. These people, once again, they don't know what they don't know. They may come from background, like humble beginnings, like you, me. We're not used to having this kind of money. So it can be it's a big problem, right? You can get yourself in a lot of trouble with it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really important to have people in your corner to help you, protect you, because especially even some of these kids in the NIL, they're making some money, which is fantastic. Right. But also that's when a lot of the people come out of the woodwork to try to latch on to you and looking for money. And you just got to get as educated as possible.
Yeah, no doubt. And being in the NIL space here at Mizzou, financial literacy is huge for us, because you're right. You got guys making six figures. You got these girls making six figures. They come from very, even more humble beginnings than you and I. And it's a lot to maintain. It's a lot to manage. Like you said, you do have people coming out of woodworks, making you feel obligated to do things for them. You know, you remember when I did this for you when you were little? I can't tell you how many times I've heard of those type of stories. And then just, you know, these athletes want to go out, buy these fancy cars, go out and do all this type of stuff. It's very sad to see how NIL has brought such a negative thing to light. But it's also even more positive to see how impactful the NIL compensation can be for athletes who families don't have much. So it's great, man. Finances can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, but I'd rather have than not have. I'll tell you that. So.
Yeah. When I get to talk to different people in those situations, my biggest thing I always talk to them about is like, hey, you know, you're a great athlete. And even if you're the greatest of all time, this is going to end someday and end someday soon, right? It's not going to last 20 years, even if you're one of the greatest of all time. So think about the future.
Right.
Set yourself up. Take advantage of this money. Take advantage of it. And that's just always on the forefront there.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that advice when I first started, man, because truth be told, a very old athlete is still a very young man or woman.
You got a lot of life ahead of you.
So, you know, when you asked me about that mistake earlier, I wish I would have just had been better with my money, thinking about the future. Yeah. I knew I wanted kids. I knew I wanted a particular type of lifestyle post-retirement, but I didn't do a great job working on that when I was printing money as an athlete.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a good spot, but it's been a lot of bump in my head, and I'm very thankful for you, brother.
Yeah. So, man, tell me, go back to 18-year-old, 20-year-old Lawrence, and you could talk in his ear. What piece of advice would you give him from your perspective today?
I would say, number one, to be content. I felt like I was never really content with how things had played out after the injury and just being in college. I felt overlooked at times, but just being content, not being complacent, but just being content with the things that I did have and understanding that there's a greater call for my life, because childhood trauma is a real thing as well. So a lot of things that I went through as a kid allowed me not to see the greatness in me. So I would always doubt myself and stuff of that nature. I had envy in my heart about certain people. So there were times where I just wasn't content with what I had. I always thought that I deserved more, or I wanted more, this and this. I would just go back and tell Lawrence to be happy in what you have, continue to work harder, and good things would be on the horizon. I think when my daughter was born, right before my daughter was born, that's when I started to mature mentally and have that mantra that I'm talking about. And life has been really good ever since.
And it's a journey, man. I can relate to a lot of what you say there, childhood trauma, single mom, all those things. And yeah, I can relate big time to that, of never being content and always chasing after something, trying to fill some hole and doubting yourself, lack of self-confidence. That's me in a nutshell, especially as a kid. But it's just recognizing that and maturing from it. Yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah, everything is a journey, man. And I said this on a podcast I did before this one, but I'm trying still to this day, and I'll be 34 in a few weeks. I'm still trying to be better connected to me, to be and who I am. A lot of people see the imagery of me as, oh man, this guy played basketball. He's great with kids. Everybody has internal struggles, and some have more than others. And I'm thankful that I live a pretty positive life. You can always grow. You can always evolve. And outside of business, just you being more in touch with you. I've started working out every morning, whether it's hot yoga, whether it's at the gym at API. Shout out to API Fitness, my guy Jarrell Jackson. and Lotus Hot Yoga. My girl Brandy Turner, just working on me, because truth be told, Peyton, in this, the better I am for myself, the more I can give to that beautiful woman that you see and that family that you see behind me. Mm-hmm. They deserve a good Lawrence. It's all about growing, man. That's the mindset.
Yeah. That's what we talk about here constantly on this podcast, is growth, being as self-aware as possible, right? The best thing you can do for the world is become the best version of yourself you can be. And I've had other guests talk about, it's like, 90% of the work to solve all your problems is internal, and only like 10% of it's external.
Sure.
You really are the problem and the solution to everything.
Mm-hmm. And you have to get yourself out of that rut. If you ever fall into one, you got to be your biggest cheerleader. You got to be your biggest disciplinarian. You got to hold yourself accountable in a way that nobody else should even come close to being able to hold you accountable. So I totally agree with you, man. I think just people working on themselves and understanding, no blaming this person or that person. You know, looking in the mirror saying, hey, I got to be better. And if you do that, you'll be good. You'll be good.
That's great, yeah, man. What's the best way people can connect with you or just follow you? What's the best way to connect with you?
From an NIL perspective, very easy. Email is always the best. My email for Every True Tiger is lbowers@everytruetiger.org. For any business that has any questions about potentially partnering with any of our student athletes, having them become ambassadors, shooting any type of media content, social media advertisement, the easiest way to get a hold of me would be through email. And then for anybody who is interested in LBL sports, we do have the 10th annual Camp Bowers coming up.
10th annual.
Decade,
that's awesome, man.
A decade of camps. We are going to eclipse over 600 kids. Registrations are unbelievable right now. I've garnered some serious support from the community, which lets me know that I am doing something positive. So the easiest way to get in touch with me is probably through the website, and that's www.lbosports.com. You can learn more about who I am, what I do on my basketball journey, the things I offer to the community, the kids, in addition to the camps that I hold every summer here in Columbia. So pretty visible. If you run into me, anybody run into me out in the streets or out at a Mizzou game or whatever, just say hi. I love talking.
That's awesome. Yeah. And big shout out to LBO Sports with the camps. I've seen Lawrence out there with the kids and he's amazing. I've seen him there 7:30 Saturday mornings coaching basketball with just young kids and just pouring into them. And it's really cool to watch.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, guys, that's all we have for you today. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Peyton Squires, or going to peytonsquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.